That was probably abhorrently loud. I apologize. Sean, are you there?
I am here.
Was that deafening?
It kind of kicked in loud, but on the phone it doesn't sound so bad, you know, because it's just the phone. So
I potted it down all the way, the intro song. I'll bring it back up a little. You are listening to Papa's Basement. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined today by a very special guest, Sean F. of Opie and Anthony parody song fame. I guess the parodies are always about E-Rock, but he's famous from Opie and Anthony. Sean, what's up, man?
Hey, what's up, John? Thanks again for having me back. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I wish I could say this was just for an interview, but I am short-staffed at the moment, and you are going to be the interview/guest host, because that's how professional I am.
I am honored that you even thought to have me on at all, so thanks so much. That's awesome. Thank you.
I remember you kicked ass last time, so yeah, screw it. Let's get on with it. The show's website is inpapasbasement.com. Try to get two episodes a week up there for you. If you do the iTunes thing, it is inpapasbasement.com/iTunes. And Stitcher, a very cool mobile app for getting your podcast that way. I am inpapasbasement.com/Stitcher. At Papa's Basement on Twitter. For me, for Sean, it's at Mondo270. And again, if you are active in the Opie and Anthony world, Jesus, this is going to be a long one, Sean. I apologize.
It's all right. Everybody says Opie anyway, so that's okay. Everybody says Opie and Anthony. It's hard not to say that.
I talk about them on the show a ton, and that might be my first Opie, but hey, I'm...
No kidding.
Hopefully we got it out of the way early. Yep. You do a lot of Opie and Anthony-related stuff on Twitter, which, again, is fine by me. I've managed to turn a lot of my internet fucking around time into Opie and Anthony-centric stuff.
Right.
Oh,
no, I was going to say, that when it comes to my Twitter account, I mean, the whole reason I'm on Twitter at all is because of Opie and Anthony. I never really thought to be on Twitter until the whole... you know, E-Rock song thing started up, you know, when the contest started, the Steven Singer contest started back in, gosh, November of 2012. It's amazing that I'm still kind of relevant this long into it, but...
They've kept you around, dude. You're good. What can I say?
I gotta say, I didn't even think I was going to be mentioned once, you know, when I was making these songs in my apartment, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning. I didn't even think I was going to get on the air at all, much less end up in the studio, but that's a whole other story. But, no, the whole reason I'm on Twitter at all is because of Opie and Anthony, and quite frankly... I don't really see another need to be on there. I mean, but to see cool and, you know, talk to cool people like yourself, John, and podcast people and O&A fans and Jim Norton fans, that's what it's all about for me.
My crowning achievement on Twitter is that Opie somehow follows me.
Yeah.
That's it. Otherwise, I would have junked that account. I would have run it through 100 spam bots doing the follow back bullshit.
Right.
But I can't do that to the Opster.
Right, Opie is very generous when it comes to fans who produce, you know, fans who have something to give. And you obviously have a lot of talent, and you're always on, you're always doing something. You're writing or making your comic or doing your podcast. And,
well, I appreciate it. I do nothing that contributes to the show like you do, though.
Right.
I'll say that much. I think it was just some dude, Jamie Velasco, I believe his name was just tweeted Opie and was like, you should follow Papa's Basement. And then I get, you know, the little email notification saying Opie follows you. I'm like, was it that fucking easy?
Right.
Should have done that a long time ago. Hit up.
But again, it doesn't even necessarily have to be, you know, Opie and Anthony related. I think that he sees talent sometimes and he'll say, hey, you know, he'll shine a light on people, you know? And,
yeah.
You know, that's what he's all about too. So Opie is a huge reason why I'm even talking to you today. I mean, when I was sending in these songs, Opie was, from time to time, he would send me like a DM or say, hey, you know, you're really great job. Keep doing it. You know,
that is awesome.
What else you got? I remember when I first sent in the songs back in the day, because I had sent in like two or three songs at once, E-Rock songs. And after like the third song, he's like, Sean F., keep sending stuff in. I had no intention of even continuing, but he just kind of said on the air, he's like, Sean F., keep sending stuff, whatever you got. And I was like, oh, maybe I do have some more stuff. I don't know. And then, you know, 13 songs later, you know, we're still talking about it. So it's kind of cool.
Well, that's the beautiful thing about a radio show is it's interactive by nature, and especially right. With Twitter and Facebook nowadays. Like, I don't know about you. I'm obsessed with, like, Martin Scorsese, but I doubt I can tweet his ass and he'll be like, hey, we're filming Goodfellas 2. Would you like a cameo? But
that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah, you fuck around enough. Related to a radio show, I don't know, you get noticed on some level. I've never earned a DM. That would make my day. I've certainly never tried to abuse the following thing and DM him first, because I think he went on a tear once. bitching about people doing that because it like comes to his phone as a text.
Right.
So I've absolutely never abused that.
Yeah, me too. I always feel kind of funny when I DM anybody. This will be cut out of the edit, I think. But anyway, my little stammering here, I apologize. We were talking about on the show that I was on about being nervous. You know, I was dry mouth when I was actually in the studio.
Let's just do it as the first half of the show. I was going to have you on back when there was a co-host present for this episode just because I wanted you to talk about your songs actually landed you in the studio with Opie, Anthony, and Jim, the whole gang, and especially E-Rock.
Right.
And I was blown away because I was just doing one of my jobs driving around Christ knows where. And I turn on the show, and you are in studio. And I'm not a noble man, so my first thought was that piece of shit. I would murder him 1,000 times to trade places with him. But afterwards, I was like, good for Sean. That is awesome. He's a buddy.
Right.
I want to smell your fingers through the phone.
Oh, I'm going to – here you go. Here, I'm holding them up right now to the receiver.
Oh, glorious.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the thing is, we were – in relation to the DM is what I was trying to get at. In relation to the DM thing when you shouldn't DM people, I've been Twitter friends with Sam, Opie. I'm not Twitter friends with Anthony or E-Rock, obviously not E-Rock, but Roland is a Twitter friend. And so when this whole contest thing was going on, the whole reason I actually landed in the studio was sometime in January, Dr. Ian called into the show again and said, hey, you know, I had this... I want E-Rock and Roland to lose weight. Whoever loses the most weight will get $500 or something like that.
Then let me explain, because I probably have some listeners that aren't into Opie and Anthony. They are confused and wicked people.
Right.
Dr. Ian is a weight loss guy who's appeared on the Opie and Anthony show. I guess he did a lot in the day, not so much recently. And Roland is the talent booker for the show who's pretty heavy dude. What was Roland clocking in at, like 350 or something like that?
Somewhere in that range, yeah.
Yeah, and E-Rock, the running gag on the show is they crack on E-Rock for his weight the most, but he's like, he's overweight, but he isn't gigantic or anything like that. He was 230, something like that. I'm in the E-Rock range. I mean, I need to drop a few myself.
Sure, sure. Everybody can lose a few. Yeah. I could lose a few. I mean, everybody could lose a few for sure.
But continue. Sorry to interrupt.
I
should...
And by the way, everybody that's listening at home, I'm a babbling idiot. So if I'm jumping around topics, I apologize. John, especially to you, because it's your show. I apologize.
Oh, don't worry. This one's such a CF. This is my lunch break, if you will. I just killed an Indian buffet and rolled in here with a belly full of fuck knows what, some sort of orange paste.
So you may not make it through the show at all. So this might be your last show after that big meal.
I really don't know. There is a weird feeling in my stomach. I am not going to lie. But
yeah.
I'm trying to keep the game face on.
Gotcha, gotcha. Well, I was trying to talk about the DM thing, because when this contest was happening with Dr. Ian and Roland and E-Rock right in January, I started thinking, you know what, this might be a good opportunity for me to make a new song, and then when the contest is over, as a punishment, they can play the song on the air. So, you know, the months started going by, and, you know, they started talking about it from time to time on the show, and they would weigh in, and E-Rock and Roland would weigh in, and it seemed... It seemed off the bat that E-Rock was going to lose more weight than Roland for a second, and then it kind of went the other way.
Well, and Roland's big thing is he's a foodie,
exactly,
if you will, which it kind of was brought home to me the other day. I don't know if you do Reddit at all, but there's an Opie and Anthony subreddit, and there's a huge just anti-Roland sentiment on it for some reason. And they were explaining, they were cracking on him for being a foodie because they're like, you know, that doesn't mean he understands food in general. It just means he eats a lot of shitty, fatty, and carby food. And it's true. I had never thought of it that way, but have you ever realized the foodies don't really get into the health food at all?
Right. It's more like snacks, not snacks, but like desserts and things of that nature. You know?
Very, very decadent, meals and desserts. So that's Roland's persona, that he just lives on that crap. And so, it seemed that E-Rock, who, he's a dude, I don't know how he's that heavy. I guess he's kind of poorly, but he isn't like Roland, just like masturbating to the fact that he eats raw garbage.
Right, right. Yeah, Roland is, and they were saying it on the show the other day, I think it was on the pre-show, no, on the post-show, that Roland gets a free pass. You know, people don't bust on Roland's weight, because Roland actually takes it a bit more personal. Like, E-Rock is a is really good when it comes to this kind of stuff. It kind of rolls off his back for the better part.
Not yours, apparently.
Not for me. No, I gotta say, and I will say, being in the studio, I didn't really expect him to like welcome me lovingly, but he really hates my fucking guts. I mean, literally, like he does not like me at all. Well, like not even the least bit. You know, I thought for a minute there, it was like, oh, okay, he kind of respects the songs, but he does not like me.
No, I didn't stick with him.
No.
And that is weird because he seems a very perceptive dude. And in all honesty, you are very safe and like you put out this stuff, but you're immediately quick to say, this isn't really designed to hurt E-Rock. I'm being an asshole in song, but I love E-Rock.
Right.
And he will not have it.
In my songs, I never talk about him dying. I never talk about his health. I never talk about his family. I don't talk about his wife or anything. I think
you're like the mafia. You leave the families out of it.
Absolutely. You know, I don't think there's really any call to bring up his personal life or his health or, you know, one of my favorite E-Rock songs that I actually mentioned in the studio was a song called E-Rock's Tits Flop by Jefferson K. And I love the whole song, but the last line, it says something about cardiac arrest is on the way. If we're lucky, it'll happen today. I don't think that's funny, like, because, you know, I know people and I've had family members that have dropped dead of heart attacks. Mm-hmm. You know, that I don't think that's funny in the least bit. But, yeah, I try to be respectful in the songs. I mean, hey, fat, lazy, blah, 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 whatever. You know, it works. You know, it's just kind of the same four ideas crammed in the different songs. That's all it is. That's the equation, folks. It's, you know, the same four things, and you just find a song you like and try to plug it in. That's all it is. But getting back to the contest, so as we got closer to the end of the contest, it was the Friday before the official final weigh-in where they were going to find out who lost the most weight. And I actually DM'd Sam. I said, Sam, I got an idea for you. I have a song. I said, but as a punishment, if he doesn't make the weight, how about I come in and sing it? And this was just like a quick DM to him the Friday before. And he actually wrote back like 2 hours later, that might be fun. And I said, cool. I said, I have this idea for a song. I haven't even, you know, laid the song down yet, but I can slap together a quick demo and email it to you. And he said, sure, cool. You know, send it over. So I emailed it to him later that night. It was like a Friday evening. And I didn't hear anything back from him the entire weekend. So I was like, oh, crap, he probably hated the song. He thought it sucks, whatever.
That's horrible. And obviously he's just busy. But for someone right. like you or me, we're kind of just on the edges of it. That crushed you probably.
Oh, absolutely. I was like sitting by my email, hitting the you know the send-receive button every few seconds. I was like, oh, okay, well, maybe he doesn't like it. And that's okay. You know, I was fine with it. But then Tuesday he wrote back out of nowhere. He's like, dude, love the song. Can you be here Thursday morning at 7 a.m.? Friday morning at 7 a.m. And I was like, oh, shit, this is real now. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I kind of almost wanted him to say no because I didn't, you know, I'm not really a big attention, you know, whore. I don't, like, put my pictures up online. Like, you know, my last name's not up there. I don't want people to really, you know, I don't want to be the center of attention. I'm not the guy at the party telling all the jokes and stuff like that.
It's an easy acceptance thing, too, when you do stuff online. I found back in the day when you would, I don't know if you hit up a lot of girls online, but how many times would you be texting a chick? It's like midnight. You're getting raunchy as hell. And she goes, yeah, you know what? Why not? Come over and fuck me. And you're immediately like, oh, I'm getting sleepy. I don't know if I can actually do that.
I wish I had a story like that, John. I wish I did. But most of the time it ended up with no reply at all, that kind of thing.
But okay, sorry.
But I know, no, I'm on the same wavelength. I know what you mean. But God bless you, John. That's great. How many times has that happened to you? That's fantastic.
More than I'd like to admit. Back in the day, back when I was a single man, it's just great because you're texting and you're pretty much. I guess Norton and I are in the same boat. You use the texting really as just jack fodder,
right?
And the instant the girl who's been sending you her tits is like, "Yeah, you know what? Let's do this thing," you're like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! You're taking it a bit too far, sister."
Nice.
You act all of a sudden like a 14-year-old. At least I do. I don't know.
So you were putting up some numbers back then.
I was. I put up numbers that were cut short, unfortunately. But
are we talking like Opster numbers or like, you know?
No, I get the feeling that Opster has to be at least in the three digits.
For sure, I'd imagine. Yeah.
I mean, you could just pull ass off the any caller.
Right.
You would just, hey, let's fuck. I guess he kind of had the bad luck of doing that during the non-Facebook or Twitter era where you could just get a picture immediately.
Good point,
but yeah, fuck it. If she comes by at the end of the, he was night shift too, right?
He did all kinds of shifts, but the one story they always talk about is the one where him and Anthony were at that, I guess, sunscreen girls were there at some party, and they asked Opie and Anthony to get in the hot tub with him. And like, oh, no, we got girlfriends. We can't do that.
Ugh,
remember that story? Like, I think he was kind of stilted for a time because he was in, like, a six-year relationship where he couldn't do anything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And Mars just revealed he was dating a Puerto Rican broad. Like, the famous ex-girlfriend was a Puerto Rican chick. I don't know why I find that fascinating.
Oh, there you go.
Maybe because he looks like such Hitler youth.
Right.
All right, I interrupted, man. Continue.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I was stunned by those by that tweet thing. That's not a thing in my life. I wish I had that.
Sorry to interrupt again. Is it just because Opie and Anthony is so dude-centric? Because I feel if you're doing anything creative and you talk to a girl, she'll appreciate that you do something creative.
Right. Right. Now, were you getting some tail during your radio years? Like, were you doing radio and got some stuff off of that? Or
it's actually always been through this stupid show for the most part of the site. Like, you know,
nice.
People, you just hit up a chick and she's like, what do you do? And you're like, okay, I do this show. And they'll listen to an episode that hopefully isn't me talking about some dog shit like this. And
right.
They'll be like, oh, you're a funny guy. And it progresses. It's just, it blows my mind that doing the songs, like, you're talented as hell.
Thanks, man. I've had a couple of conversations with women on Twitter who back and forth talking, but I usually come out and say I'm married pretty short into it.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to like act like kind of like Opie and Anthony, you know, like this might be my opportunity to start getting some tail, but because I'm married, I'm not, right? But anyway, people will ask me, and I'll say, yeah, I'm married just until the snacks tail starts rolling in. You know, I had that song Snacks.
Yes.
But that hasn't happened yet, so until then, I guess, what can I do? But anyway, sorry for that. I think this will all be edited out, but anyway.
It's the show. Trust me. We can edit nothing out. We will need every precious second.
Please do. Please do. That's okay. My stupid ramblings going off to the side. Anyhow, I am married with no kids, by the way, and you can hear my wife in the song Making Out, the Making Out parody, which is Pigging Out. She's the female voice in that, but that's a little side note. Anyway.
I need to hear that. I have actually not heard that one.
Yeah, it was one of the early ones. It was done every now and then. They'll still bring it up on the show. Not my song, but the song Making Out. It was a song that Jim Norton heard when he was a kid. It was like one of those little floppy albums that came in a Mad magazine.
Yeah, I was going to say it was a Mad song. I've heard them talk about that a lot recently. I didn't realize they had previous Making Out sessions on the show.
Yeah. It was about a year ago. I guess it was probably around. Oh no, you know what? It was probably about. It was May of not this year, but last year, because that's when they kind of discovered my SoundCloud page, and the first
which
song
is
I did,
by the way,
Plug oh away, SoundCloud. So. It's soundcloud.com/shawn-f-1. So please check it out. And if you go to my Twitter, Mondo270, my Twitter has the banner. Right at the top, you can click right to my SoundCloud and go right to my SoundCloud.
I would recommend my SoundCloud, except I never paid to go premium.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's just the same two goddamn MP3s from like 6 months ago when I started it.
Well, if you pay to go premium, all you really do is I think you can just kind of change the order of it.
Lovely.
And if you're an insane person like me, you'll go back in and like after you post a song, tweak it 100 times and then replace it. They actually give you that's kind of the great thing about buying the actual premium. If you're like me and you hear a song like 10 times in and you're like, oh, my voice could have sounded better in that part, and then I tweak the song like again and then replace it. You still keep the same numbers, but you can replace the actual track. So that's kind of a cool thing about going premium on SoundCloud. But check out SoundCloud in general. They got a lot of cool stuff on there. Sorry about that. We really took a big detour there, but I'm going to come back. I'm bringing it back.
They're a sponsor. It's all good.
Nice. So I sent Sam the song. He wrote back. He said, can you be here Friday morning at 7 a.m.? He said, yeah. I said, cool. And then I started thinking logistics. I'm like, okay, I live in South Jersey. I got to get up to New York on Friday morning. So, of course, Thursday hits. I wake up 7 o'clock in the morning, and I'm panicked. I have to go to work. All through work, I'm just thinking about the song. Sam writes me during the day, and he goes, hey, can you email me the bass tracks that you're going to sing over? I was like, oh, definitely. Let me put them together. So I get home.
You mean just like the karaoke tracks?
Yeah, like the karaoke track. But I had to kind of cut it a little bit. And I also had to put my backing vocals in it, like for You're Fat as Fuck. Which I'll do another side note. If you remember when we were on the show together last, me and you, John, I mentioned that because I hate the version that's on SoundCloud, and I want to tweak that, but I was like, you know what? So many people have heard it by now. I'm not going to tweak it. It's like it has like 5,000 hits or something like that. And I told you on the show, I was like, you know, I want to remake that at some point. And
I do remember
remember that? And I had no clue that I was going to be remaking it in the studio, like 5 feet away from E-Rock, who at any moment could have spun around and punched me right in the fucking nose. But that's actually on my SoundCloud now. So there's a commercial for my SoundCloud. I clipped the episode that I was on, and actually that's one of the first songs you'll see on my SoundCloud, of me doing the song live in the studio. But again, I apologize. So
please don't, man. I'm zoning out just listening to you, enjoying everything about this.
Oh, thanks a lot. Again, if I start rambling, you can get me back on track. But so Thursday morning, I put the tracks together Thursday night, and I'm tweaking the tracks, I'm tweaking the backing, and it's 11 o'clock at night. And I'm like, okay, I got to get up at like 3 to get on the road by 4 to get there at 6-ish maybe.
Jesus Christ, so, man. You actually drove day of.
Yeah, the logistics of it. And again, I live in South Jersey, so I'm not crazy far away from New York.
I know the area, though. I probably have been in very close proximity to you. I used to bang a chick that lived right outside Philly. Are you in that general area?
I am. I'm probably about 20 minutes southeast of Philly. I'm in a town called West Deptford, New Jersey.
Dude, she lived in West Deptford.
Get the fuck out, dude. That's fantastic.
Right. What the hell is your grocery store that's right next to the fucking Friendly's?
And
25 burgers and that shit?
Oh, well, there's Acme one way and then there's ShopRite the other
ShopRite.
Way. ShopRite. There you go.
You got ShopRite facing the Friendly's.
Yep.
I would go to that ShopRite, get some condoms, then get some Friendly's to eat and go back and fuck at the apartment.
Was this one of your Twitter or one of your tweet texting people? Or?
This was a girl I pulled off Reddit, actually. But then she saw the website and she's like, you're a charming lad. And I spent the better part of, I think, like 8 months or some shit with her, six, some bullshit like that. She's pretty good.
That's awesome, dude. And now, you live down in the Washington area?
I'm in D.C. It's about a 2.5-hour hike for me. Every other weekend or once a month, I go up and see her, and she'd come down the other 2 weeks.
Now, this was not planned. What are the odds that you live in Washington and I live in West Deptford, and you bang the chick in West Deptford?
It is random as shit. And what I learned is an ex of mine who lived in this area was also from West Deptford. She lived like 5 minutes from where the fucking ex was. The other ex. Yeah, I don't know, man. Fucking Jersey's great. What can I say?
Now, you actually said the word apartments. I'm not going to bring up which apartment complex I live in, but I guarantee it's the apartment complex I live in, which is really fucking strange. That's an amazing coincidence.
Are you, like, almost walking distance from that shop, right?
Okay, if you're that close, then it's not my apartment complex. I think you're referring to a place called Heather Ridge.
Yeah. Oh, shit, was it that?
What's that one?
Oh, man, we're going deep on this, and I don't give a fuck, because this is hilarious to me.
It was that's not my apartment complex, so please nobody try to track me down.
It was like if you pulled out straight from that Friendly's and then drove down the road with the ShopRite Mall on your right, she was then off to the left.
Yeah, that's Heather Ridge, all right.
Holy.
Absolutely.
So you're like 2 feet from there.
I'm about a mile. Oh, see, now I'm getting real specific. I'm about a mile away from there, but I'm right there, man. That's funny.
This is so fucking random.
I'd love to know her name because I'll probably know her. West Deptford's only so big, but you know, if she's younger than me, I'm sure I won't know. But
off air, I'll give you some stories.
Yeah, that's
some
okay. That's
good
cool.
Shit.
I'm not going to try to hook up with her or anything like that. I'm just curious. But anyway,
she's a whore and a great fuck. So whatever,
nice.
Go for it,
dude. Did she have to put the kid in the bedroom and lock the door kind of thing? One of those.
She was childless, thank God.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Hopefully, I left her that way.
As far as you know, at the time she was.
I have had no claims, no subpoenas. Nice.
Very cool. But God, it's so funny. But anyway, so Thursday night comes around. It's 11 o'clock. I'm putting the finishing touches on the backing tracks for these songs, and I send them over to Sam. I say, "Here you go. You know, thanks a lot. I'll see you tomorrow morning." So, of course, I'm not sleeping. You know, I'm rolling around in bed, and I can't sleep, and I'm like, I got to get up at 3.
This is Rocky, the night before Facing Apollo.
Oh, my God. It's you know, because you hear these people on Opie and Anthony, and they sound so polished and professional, and I'm just some dude, you know. I'm a fan from South Jersey, so I'm not privy to all this stuff. I'm not, you know, I barely get up before 7 a.m. ever. So, you know, I don't know if you've gotten up, and maybe your job, you have to do this. Do you ever get up at like 3 in the morning or 4 in the morning to go to work?
I did back in radio.
You know that weird thing where it's like still kind of wet out, like it's dewy?
Yes.
And like everybody's asleep, you know, and you're walking out and it's dark. You know, it's just
the entire day feels like a dream. I don't know if that's how you perceive it.
100%.
You're done with work at noon. Yep. And everyone's like, that's great. You have the whole day. And I'm like, this day didn't happen. This isn't reality.
Right.
Who are you, Talking Coyote?
Everything's like hazy. It's almost like when you play Silent Hill, there's like that weird haze like in the air. Like,
yeah, the fog of war.
Yeah, just all fog. And so that was me. I had no sleep. I'm getting in my car at like 4:30 in the morning. And I'm like, I just want to get there early.
And you want to be on your funny A game.
Absolutely.
Great
and
way
I know-
to start, yeah.
And I know that's not going to happen. I talked to my friend the day before. I said, and I didn't tell him until Thursday, like while I was at work. I said, dude, I said, I'm going to go on that show. They're going to rip me an asshole. Like, the only thing I can hope to leave there is with a shred of dignity. I said, it's going to go bad. I'm probably going to sing horribly. It's going to suck. Like, I said, I don't even know why I'm doing it. I said, I have nothing to win. I'm only going to lose.
Building yourself up, I see.
Absolutely. I said, I'm going to fall on my face. And I knew I was going to be nervous because I'm just a nervous guy in general. I'm nervous to do this with you, you know, so it's one of those things.
You perform great while nervous, though. You're not one of those nervous guys who then fucks it up. You think you're going to fuck it up, but you do great.
I will say I got lucky. I mean, when the songs hit, and I'll jump ahead a little bit, like when I got to the studio. Well, let me go back just a little bit because I just want to kind of fill in a little bit of the blanks. When I finally got to New York, it was like 6 o'clock in the morning, and I drove by where the studios were, and I found a parking garage, and I'm sitting in the car, and I'm like, all right, this is it. You know, what can I do?
That's the most astounding thing you have said so far, by the way, that you managed to get like from Philly to New York on a weekday.
Right.
In 3 goddamn hours.
Traffic was bad, but I gave myself enough time.
Let people process that, by the way. You left at what time and traffic was already bad?
It was around, I think I hit my car at like 4:15 in the morning, and I got there around 6.
There you go.
Yeah, so it was crazy. It was absolutely insane. Yeah, traffic was still bad, and I knew it was going to be bad, but I wasn't really sure how bad it was going to be. It was weird. It was February 21st. It was like a cold February morning. And it was wet, like it had rained the night before. So the roads were bad. People were on the road. It was crazy.
You're going up 95. 95 is hellish.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I went on to the Turnpike, which then turns into 95. Mm-hmm. And then you go all the way up. And I went through the Holland Tunnel. And by the way, anybody that goes to the Holland Tunnel, I don't have Easy Pass. So when you go to Easy Pass by the Holland Tunnel, there's like 10 Easy Pass lanes and 1 cash lane. Ugh. And of course, I was on the far side away from the cash lane. So I'm like, fuck this. I just blew through the Easy Pass because I'm not going to risk my life to go over 10 lanes to get to the cash lane. So I'm already like, you know.
How much was the ticket?
Actually, it wasn't bad. It was $13.
That is nothing. How much is the toll itself?
I know. It's totally worth it. Like, I could have risked my life to get all the way over to pay the cash or. So this is a message to anyone who's, you know, stuck on the Holland Tunnel line. Just go through it, pay the $13, you'll get the ticket in the mail, no big deal. So I was actually pretty surprised. I thought it was going to be like $100 or something like that.
I was going to go with 50.
Yeah, I was pretty shocked. So then I'm nervous again. I'm thinking, oh, now I'm going to get a ticket. The cops are behind me. So, you know, literally it's, you know, what, 5:45 as I'm going through the Holland Tunnel, and I'm running on adrenaline. I haven't been asleep in 24 hours.
And New York's just not a car city.
Oh, my God.
For those
crazy
who are not on the East, they don't want you driving through it, trying to find parking. Not street parking, you might as well find a goddamn unicorn. Even a garage is a fucking pain in the balls to locate.
New York, all I remember about New York is box trucks on the side of the road loading and unloading things. That's what New York was to me. Like, you go down a road, there's a box truck you have to weave around. There's 2 box trucks. You have to wait for one to move. It's just all box trucks, like loading and unloading their parcels into like stores and things like that. And then when I got onto Avenue of the Americas, which is where Sirius Studios are, super wide road. I mean, it's crazy, but you have to kind of find a parking spot. So I kind of overshot the Sirius Studios, but probably about 10 blocks and found a little parking garage. It was like, you know, $40 for the day or something. Like that. So I paid that. And then I ended up walking up the road. And as I'm walking up the road, I quickly tweeted. I don't have Sam's phone number to text them, but I tweeted them. I said, hey, Sam, I'm here. It's about 6:15. I know you don't want me there till 7, so I'm going to stop and get some coffee or something like that. Because Sam did tell me the night before, he said, don't tweet it, don't text it, don't tell anybody about this. It's going to be a total surprise. And I didn't tell anybody.
It didn't even come up in our nightly talk. I was a little hurt, but...
Yeah, I didn't tell anybody. Like I said, I told my best friend that Thursday, and because I knew if I told somebody on Twitter, somehow it gets back. You know,
we're just a gaggle of gossipy little bitches.
Right, you know, and that's okay. I figured that. So I said, I'm just not going to tell anybody, you know, across the board. And my friend's not a real Opie and Anthony fan, so I figured I could, you know, tell him. And he's kind of been, you know, a fan of mine from, you know, behind the scenes since I've been doing this, but he doesn't really listen to the show.
Mm-hmm.
But he, you know, encourages me and says, cool, this is great, this is awesome. But he doesn't have Sirius and all that stuff. So I figured I could tell him, and that was about it.
He's like,
so anyway,
this is awesome. Who's E-Rock?
Yeah, exactly. Why are you making fun of this guy?
Yeah, you know, all that what did he do to you?
Yeah. It was really, I didn't have a good answer either. I just said, you know, it's just a fun hobby that I have, and people seem to like it. And that's kind of what I tell people. It's a fun hobby. You know, it's better than playing Xbox, although I'm totally playing Xbox now. That's a whole other
mid-show.
Story. Yeah, yeah. I love this. Have you gotten the new South Park game? The Stick of Truth?
No. I finally, I'm such a cheap piece of shit that I won't buy any of the full-price arcade games.
Right.
And last week, Castle Crashers finally went on sale for $5 instead of $15.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
And I've been geeking the fuck out with that one, man.
I remember getting that like years ago. Like, is that updated?
You got that over half a decade ago, my friend.
Yeah,
I think it came out in 2008.
Right.
I am late to the Xbox party by several years.
Yeah, but that's a really cool game too. But yeah, the new Stick of Truth game is really funny, especially if you're a South Park fan. A lot of cool South Park stuff in that. But I tweet Sam, hey, I want to grab some coffee. So at this point, not only am I totally tired, I'm like clammy, I'm shaking, and I'm in the middle of New York walking up the Avenue of Americas, and the sun's starting to come up, and again, it's that weird haze, and I see the Starbucks, probably about 5 blocks away from the Sirius Studios, and I have to piss. Like, I have to piss so bad, like I'm about to piss my pants. So I go into Starbucks, and my intention
is this piss or a coffee piss or both?
A little bit of both. Like I had I was drinking a lot of water, like an idiot. Like before, you know, the night before, I was like drinking a lot of water, and
you're like an Indian getting ready for war.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is another sidebar, but that whole week since I knew I was going to be on the show, I literally stopped eating. And I wanted to lose weight. I was like, I can't walk into the studios with a big double chin, man
titties. Like an actress for the Academy Awards.
Absolutely. I was like, I can't sing a titty song and have titties. Yeah. You know what I mean? I can't be in front of E-Rock and saying, ha, you're fat, and then I'm a big fat tub of lard. So I dropped like 7 pounds that week.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. So that didn't help.
You should have pulled a William Shatner and just gotten a girdle.
Yeah,
have you learned nothing from Captain Kirk?
But I was thinking double chin, too. I was like, you know what, I got to get rid of my chin. I got to, like, look at least a little bit svelte, you know. So that whole week, that was another thing going against me. My body was already shutting down from not eating right. And, you know, again, I was nervous for being on the show. I had no sleep. So this is the combination of things that are going on in my life leading up to me being on the Opie and Anthony show. So here's another thing that happens horribly. I go into the Starbucks. My intention is to make a beeline to the bathroom. And I'm like, you know what? As bad as I got to piss, I'm not a dick. I'm going to buy a tea. I'll buy a hot tea. So I go up to the guy. I say, hey, can I have a hot tea, medium, or whatever that size is they talk about.
What is the cheapest thing I can get and still take a piss?
And they're like, sure, yeah, here. So they give me the tea. And I go to the bathroom, and the bathroom door is locked from the inside. So I'm kind of jiggling the handle. I say to the guy, hey, is there anybody in there? And he goes, well, no, the cleaning person's in there. They'll probably be about 5 minutes. So I'm like, oh, shit. Like, I had to pee, like, 10 minutes ago, like, you know, bursting at the seams.
Not only does that suck, I feel so bad when the cleaning person exits and you're waiting there just to decimate their work.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, this was just piss, I must say. It wasn't a shit.
It wasn't so bad, yeah.
So
that's the worst when you're just streaking the inside of the bowl and you walk out and you're like, I'm sorry. I am sorry, ma'am.
Right, right. Well, yeah, then she came out of there, and it was literally like 5 minutes later, like the guy said. But what happened was after he said, oh, yeah, you know, the cleaning person's in there, it'll be about 5 minutes. I said, okay, cool. Not even thinking, I take a swig of the tea. Mm-hmm. Now, if you've had Starbucks hot tea, it's literally about 300 degrees Fahrenheit. And it burned the fuck out of my tongue, the top of my mouth. Immediately, I was like, ah!
But
I
that's made an fine. They were going to have you in studio simply to nod mutely.
Right.
So all is well.
Yeah. So I had a the my whole mouth was burnt. My whole mouth
was burnt.
There's
nothing worse than that.
In a matter of moments. And I'm like, okay. Now,
were you getting that white peely shit off of the roof of your mouth?
Dude, it was horrible. My tongue.
AKA your flesh.
My tongue started flopping around in my mouth. Like I could feel like the ridges of my tongue like burnt. And I'm like, I got to go on air within 2 hours or within an hour. And my mouth burnt. I have no sleep. I'm clammy. My body's shutting down. How the fuck am I going to do this? So I sit down and I text my friend. I say, dude, I just burnt the fuck out of my mouth and I have to sing in an hour. What the fuck? And he was sleeping. He had no, you know, he had.
Yeah, he's like, stop bothering me, you asshole.
Right. I was totally panicked. So anyway, so I tweet Sam. I'm like, okay, I'm on my way. So I get to the studios. The check-in process, they kind of like, I had this book bag. And in my book bag, I had a couple gifts for E-Rock. And they put the book bag and they put it through, like TSA, you know, they mm-hmm. scan your bag to make sure you don't have any bombs and stuff like that. And, you know, they walk through, you walk through like TSA through the metal detector. And I got up to
That's
the studio.
Pretty elaborate.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. And
we didn't have anything that bad. I actually used to work at the XMDC building. And I'll say this, they're pretty fucking anal about letting you in just because once you get in there, it's so big. Like you could tuck away. You probably saw this going through there. There's a million little studios, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
You could have tucked away and assembled a rifle and then gone to town.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah. Yeah, it's a huge building. The building's humongous.
Yeah.
And it's actually, I think it was like 30, the floor was like 30-something floors up. Mm-hmm. So all these floors are going up. And Sam had given my name to the guy, and he said, you know, when you come in, say, you know, I'm a guest of Sam Roberts. So I went to the Sirius XM studios, and I, you know, walked in a big white room. There's like big white couches, Sirius XM in blue, a wall, you know, with all the pictures of people, Opie and Anthony, Howard Stern, all these people. And I go up to the guy, and I say, hey, you know, I'm here for Sam Roberts. And he goes, oh, I can walk you back. I said, no, don't walk me back. This is supposed to be kind of a surprise thing. Just tell Sam I'm here.
And the shady alarm goes off.
Yeah, exactly. So he calls and he goes, yeah, you can just have a seat over there. Nice big white couch. So I'm sitting there. Nobody's there at this point, just me. And around the corner comes Sam. He goes, Sean. I said, oh, hey, Sam. And he didn't really know what I looked like because I never really had a picture posted.
Well, we all assume you look like your Twitter avatar, which is kind of like a chunky-ish bearded dude. Not unlike me or Pepper Hicks.
Right. That picture, I saw this weird like foreign video many years ago, and it just kind of stuck with me. And then
was
out of
the
blue,
Daniel Pearl video?
No, you know what it was? It was a video called the Daniel Pearl video. What is the Daniel Pearl video, by the way? What is that one?
It was that old terrorist video where they behead poor Daniel Pearl.
Oh, God, 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 God. No, it wasn't that one. It wasn't the beheading video. It wasn't that. It was some foreign video of these dudes like dancing around singing a song. I'll have to send you the link to it. It's kind of funny. Yeah, it's like from the 70s, and this one guy gets up on stage. He's kind of dancing around, and that's what I kind of thought my Twitter was. I just thought it was just kind of weird, funny songs. So I kind
foreign
of,
and from the 70s.
Yeah, kind of foreign, way out there, and just kind of fucked up. And so I figured I would use that. But yeah, actually, Opie said that when I was in the studio. He's like, did you have a beard before? I'm like, nah, that wasn't me. That
yeah,
was...
I heard that. That was the same reaction I had.
Yeah, I'm just trying to be anonymous, you know. I don't really, like I say, I don't want my name out there. I didn't really want my picture out there either, but I had to post the ones with me, Opie, and Anthony, and Jim. That's up on my Twitter if you find it. It's like deeper into it. But anyway, so Sam, like he says, hey, just hang out here for about half hour. They're on the phone right now with Dr. Ian. I'll bring you in. Total surprise.
So the man who has to piss is seated on a white couch and told not to pull a poppy.
I'm sorry. You know what? I actually did skip ahead. After I burnt my mouth and the girl, you know, came out, I did pee. I'm sorry, I missed that part of the story. I did pee.
I like how you went into detail there. We assumed you just waited for the bathroom, she exited, and then you walked off.
Right, right. So after I burnt the shit out of my mouth.
But after you chugged the tea, didn't you have to go, like, immediately afterward? Like, once I have to piss, I'm going and going and going if I'm taking any fluid in me afterward.
Well, the weird thing is about the tea is that it was so hot, literally. I mean, it's so hot. And actually, if you look down before you drink it on the white thing, it says, this fucking shit's hot. Yeah. Be careful. It actually says it right there. It leaves out the fucking and all that, but very hot stuff. So I burnt the fuck out of my mouth. Like, within 2 minutes, the girl comes out. I run in, take a pee, and then when I come out, I sat at the table, and that's when I texted my friend. And about 10 minutes later, I kind of gathered my stuff, and I was leaving to go to the studios, and I picked up the cup of tea, and it was still piping hot. I'm like, fuck it. I just threw it out. I'm like, I'm not, this is ridiculous. Like, you can't even enjoy, who would enjoy that? It's horrible. But anyway.
I don't get it either. I watched that whole hot coffee movie on Netflix about the broad who burnt her inner thighs with that cup of coffee from McDonald's. I do not get serving something so hot it can't be consumed at that temperature.
Exactly. It makes no sense. There's zero sense.
Like soup isn't served to you boiling, like a cauldron. You see soup, you can shove it in your yap immediately. I don't fucking get it. But
yeah.
Continue with you get upstairs. You're with Sam.
I'm with Sam. I have peed. I peed at Starbucks. I'm with Sam now.
we have been caught up on that front, too.
Yes, the bladder is empty. But now, again, now I'm back to Nervous Nelly. So now, not only am I almost technically, I'm sitting there shaking, I'm sweating. Now I have a burnt tongue. And Sam comes around the corner. Hey, Sean. Oh, Sam, hey, how are you? Pleasure. He goes, hey, hang out here. Dr. Ian's on the phone with the guys now. They're doing the weigh-in. He goes, I'll grab you in a couple minutes. You know, again, this is going to be a secret. I'm like, cool. So I sit there for a good 10 minutes. I'm just kind of sitting around, you know, taking pictures with my cell phone of this, you know, the waiting room. And after a few minutes, Sam goes, okay, come on, come on. So he kind of tucks me away into the studio where Travis, Sal, and the phone screener are. And those guys
are
very
cool. Do we
know
the phone screener's name, by the way? This is just, I'm derailing all momentum. Is it just an intern?
You know, I'll be honest with you. He's not a recognizable face. Like, I did shake their hands and was introduced to all of them. I can't tell you for sure what his name was. Really cool guy, though. I assume it's an intern, though. Because, again, it's kind of a faceless, you know, you don't see his name or picture on the website or anything like that. But really good guy. So he's sitting there, and he's like, you know, O&A, what, you know, where are you from? Or O&A, who's this? You know, that kind of stuff. So he's doing that to the side. Travis is to the left. He's like, you know, pretty much running the show because E-Rock's in the studio getting weighed in. And then Sal is kind of coordinating the whole conversation with Dr. Ian and the studio. So I'm sitting there backstage, and then Sam pokes his head in and says, if E-Rock comes back in, just say you're a friend of Travis. I was like, okay, cool. So that never actually that actually never came to be, because the whole time, as the weigh-in was going on, I was just sitting there watching. And as I'm sitting there in the seat, I realize my mouth is totally dry. Now, if you listen to the show that I was on, Anthony bust my chops about how dry my mouth is.
Did you have that thing going where you open and your tongue peels from the roof of it?
Yes.
There's nothing worse than that.
Yes. Now, here's the problem, and I can't say this for sure, but I think the whole reason it happened was because of that fucking tea, the hot tea that we talked about a minute ago.
Oh, it was loaded with some sort of crack herbs or something like that?
Well, no,
I think the
fact that my tongue was like literally like so open and my mouth was so open, it was like sticking to the top of my mouth.
Oh, it was probably trying to start to fuse together.
Yeah.
Like, what was it, Rab from Johnny Tremaine? Didn't he like, or no, it was Johnny Tremaine himself who burned his hand and it just turned into that flipper. That was going on with your tongue and mouth.
That's what was happening to my mouth. So I'm sitting there, I'm starting to flip out, and I brought this big thing of water with me because, again, that whole week I had water with me because I was trying to lose weight. So I'm drinking it, and I'm feeling my mouth dry, and I'm like, fuck. So now I'm totally fucked. No sleep for 24 hours. I'm sweating. I'm nervous because I'm about to go on a national radio show. And now, in addition to that, my tongue is so fucked up. So,
I would have the worst nervous shits right there. Oh, did you take one of those?
You know what? Luckily, I wasn't in a shitting mood for some reason. Like, pissing I had to do. The shit, though, didn't happen. And I'm very thankful for that because I was thinking that was going to be the case. I was thinking it was going to come out.
I would have had those horrible little brown octopus shits.
Just a little ball
with those weird traily nervous mucus tentacles, whatever the fuck those are.
I think my body was so shutting down from the fact that I was so tired and like,
you're,
you know,
starving yourself to death. That's why.
Yeah, I had nothing to shit out really. If anything, it would probably just been the water puking it out or something like that. So after a few minutes, I'm sitting there. I'm like, I keep drinking, and then the moment happens. They're like, okay, you know, E-Rock loses the contest. Sam goes, oh well, you know, we do have one other thing to do today, and then they got sidetracked, and then Opie brought it back, and Opie said, well, we do have something else to do today. And Sam's like, should I bring him in? And my heart, like, dropped out of the bottom of my ass. It was just like, okay, this is my time now. It's time to come in. And E-Rock kind of smelled a rat. He's like, I think I fucking know what's going on here. You know, if you listen back to this show, he's like, bring your guy in or whatever it is.
Yeah.
He never actually said, I know it's Sean F., but he must have smelled a rat. He must have knew something was going on. So Roland grabs me, and Roland's super awesome guy. He's really, really funny guy. Roland grabs me.
He seems nice. Again, if you want to kill some time, go on Reddit, find the Opie and Anthony subreddit, and it's just dedicated to shitting on Roland, and I don't get it.
I got to say, the people on Reddit, I'm not on Reddit very much, but all the Reddit, I have a friend on Twitter named Nervous Jared, who is kind of my link to Reddit. Like, he'll say something like, oh, there's something on Reddit about you, and then he did this a few times, and I went to Reddit, and they're like, fuck Sean F sucks, this song,
Well, they're horrible trolls.
I don't go to Reddit very much anymore.
Go for Gone Wild. Reddit Gone Wild, I can recommend wholeheartedly.
Right. But I know there's good stuff on there, but like you were saying, there's some trolling going on. But there's some of that with Twitter, but it just seems like on Reddit, it's all hate.
Well, Reddit is like 4chan with a nicer interface.
They're
savages.
You brought up 4chan. It's so funny because Nervous Jared's my link to other stuff. He actually wrote me on Twitter the other night. Somebody on 4chan found Lady Di's phone number and did like an interview with her. And it's on 4chan if you look it up. And it's not a very great interview. It's kind of just more of the same shit that we already know about Lady Di anyway.
Oh, yeah, she seems like kind of out of it. Like, I'm not trying to trash her off air. I understand she's a human being, but she does seem like the alcohol has done some damage to the frontal lobe or whatever.
Oh, yeah. I mean, her body, there's some pictures of her when she was on the show like 10 years ago. And now, I mean, her whole body has changed. Like,
what was that? They put up a collage, like the very first picture of her. I'm like, I fucked her, sure.
Oh, yeah, she looks like Tina Fey.
Yeah, like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Why not? Toss it on the woodpile.
100%. Yeah, on the door in the warehouse, right? Is that where she walked?
Yeah, it was just like her face, if I recall, is the center of this collage of like 8 pictures.
Yeah.
And it looked almost like one of those Disney, World of Disney time lapses where they show like a flower blooming and then dying.
Right. Yep, that's her.
It was depressing.
Yeah, she is admittedly so, I think. She's just kind of done herself in. I don't know if there's any coming back from that, but who knows? I mean, I think Dr. Steve actually tried to reach out to her to help her, but I think she kind of lost his number, and I think he's even done with her now, too. So, but she was actually on the show pretty prevalent today. Like, the last hour and a half, she was on the phone pretty much. So she's still keeping herself in the loop, but health-wise, I don't know. I'm not sure about that.
Not much longer for the show.
Yeah. So anyway, Roland grabs me, and we go into the studio. Now, let me paint the picture for you. I'm in the little side studio, and I have to walk outside the side studio around this window to get into the main studio. So as I'm walking there, I'm literally in my mind thinking, don't fuck up. Here we go. So the door opens, and all I see is Jim Norton right to my left, Anthony Cumia going counterclockwise around this desk.
Slow down. I'm trying to stroke here.
Oh, it's crazy. It's absolutely insane. And I'm trying to take this in as I'm walking in the door. And Opie looking, and as I'm walking in, they're like, okay, oh, here he comes. Hello, sir. And E-Rock is looking straight away from me. He's like, at the front of the desk area and looking towards Opie. So he doesn't turn around at all to even see who's coming in the door. He has no interest. He knows it's probably either me or somebody even more shitty. So
this reminds me of Goodfellas. When he's pinched for drugs, and Paulie's like, "Dad, now I got to turn my back on you."
Right. Oh, yeah, he didn't even acknowledge me at all whatsoever. So I knew it was going to be tough going in, but again, I didn't know he hated me that much. But so I put the headphones on, and I start shaking, and my legs are moving. I don't even realize it. And they're like, so please introduce yourself, sir. And I say, well, if you follow me on Twitter, and then Opie's like, oh, you gotta eat the mic. You got to get closer to the mic. And I go, well, if you follow me on Twitter, you might know me as Mondo270, but some people call me Sean F. And they're like, oh, yeah, and they start clapping and all that. So I'm starting to really, at this point, they're clapping, but I'm getting more nervous. So I put both hands on my headphones, because Sam handed me these headphones. They're over my ears. My legs are like, I'm doing like a weird leg thing where I'm kind of like shifting back and forth. Anthony mentions it, and then I start talking, and that dry mouth thing happens. It's like that sound, and Opie said the thing about the my guy with the beard, and I said, that's not me. That's like, that's kind of like my anonymous thing. It's kind of like Mondo 270 is my Greg Hughes to Opie kind of thing.
Yeah.
And as
you're
I was saying
Slim
that,
Shady.
My mouth was making that dry noise, and Anthony started going, and I said, I'm sorry, dude, I got nothing. And then Jim's like, are you okay? And I said, I am a dry mouth boy. And Jim actually handed me a bottle of water, which is super awesome. And I took a giant swig of that, and luckily the next thing we started doing was getting into the songs, and from that point on I was okay. Like, I was just kind of running on adrenaline. If you watch the video of when E-Rock smashes the gifts, I'm like, I'm still shifting. You know, I'm shifting, I'm sweating. You can actually see me wipe my brow.
Well, how much did you stay in? Like, your segment was, what, like 20 minutes or so?
Well, what's funny is the songs that I did were about 20 minutes, and it almost ended. Opie was like, you know what, this is great. You know, this was fantastic. You know, what else you got for us? And I said, well, you know, here's my Twitter, here's my SoundCloud. And then I said to E-Rock, no, what, did E-Rock say something to me? They asked E-Rock to say something. He said, no, I don't want to say anything. And then I said, well, will you accept my gifts? Because I had brought gifts in. And that extended the bit for another 20 minutes. So I was in studio for 40 minutes total.
That is amazing.
Yeah,
and just because I am curious and I'm a super fan, they bitch about the studio being tiny as shit. How big is it really?
It is so small, literally. Like, when Sam, after my appearance, I walked around with Sam a little bit. He showed me around. Uh-huh. And as we came back around, I felt stupid. I said, Sam, is that the studio where you guys usually broadcast out of? And he's like, yeah. And I was like, it's so fucking small. He goes, everybody says that.
Jesus.
It's so tiny. It's like, you know that apartment we talked about, Heather Ridge?
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost like the size of that kitchen. It's like a kitchen apartment
size. Are you
size.
Fucking kidding me?
It's they cram everything in. And I guess technically you don't really need a lot of room to do a radio show, I guess.
No, you need like the board, and then you need the table that everyone sits around, and then, you know, the mics with their boom arms or whatever the
right.
hell.
Right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there is like a separate
But it's nice
studio.
To spread that out.
Yeah, there is a studio area, like the first place I was in before I got into the main studio, where I think Sam does the pre-show there, too, and the post-show in the little side studio.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of the actual studio where Opie Anthony and Jim are, it's pretty damn tiny. It's to the point where I thought, like, maybe their main studio was being worked on, and this was, like, their little side studio.
Oh, that's bad.
Seriously.
Poor guys.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, so it would have ended at 20 minutes had I not brought up the gifts. And then the gifts.
Good for you.
Another.
Just tenaciously grasping for everything you can. If I ever got on the show and they were about to kick me out, I would just drop my pants. Just
well,
be like,
what?
Will this keep me around a little longer?
I was actually happy with doing the three songs and leaving, but something in me said, oh, I spent $100 on these gifts. I might as well bring them up. You know, because I spent.
Yeah, absolutely.
I spent $80 on this comic. It was the Simpsons. And if you guys are curious to listen to the episode, if you go to audible.com, it's from February 21st of this year, 2014.
Not that he's keeping track or anything.
Right, right. But you can listen to the whole show. It's actually pretty cool the way it transpires on the air. And then somebody put it up illegally on YouTube. You can find it, too. But I forget what.
God bless those people.
Yeah. I'm waiting for somebody to shut them down. I'm actually kind of waiting for somebody to shut me down because after about a month and a half of them not doing anything with the tracks I did, mm-hmm. like I thought that they were going to do something with the in-studio performance. I thought they were going to put it up on their SoundCloud because Opie and Anthony has their own SoundCloud too. But since they didn't put my songs up, I'm like, you know what? I just kind of chopped it up a little bit and I put You're Fat as Fuck, the live performance on my SoundCloud, and also Lazy Guy, which was the new song.
Oh, and you're worried that the SiriusXM people will come for you?
Well, I'm waiting for an email to say, hey, you know, could you take it down? That's ours. They haven't done that yet.
It's a bit of a sloppy company. I think you're okay.
Yeah. I mean, they haven't done it yet, so I guess we're okay. But I'll gladly take it down if they want me to. But I just figure, hey, what the heck? I put it up, and if people want to hear it, that's cool. But if you do want to hear the whole thing, it's February 21st, audible.com. I think it's like $2.95 to buy the whole episode. But yeah, I was kind of happy with leaving after the three songs, but I spent $80 on this Simpsons number one comic, which is like 21 years old.
He destroyed
like,
that?
Yeah, it was in Mylar plastic.
Fuck.
Yeah, if you run a search for E-Rock Smashing the Gifts, that's on Opie's YouTube page. And when I was buying them, I had in my mind, I said, you know what, there's probably about a 60% chance that he's going to smash the fuck out of these things. But
I missed that part. That is
violently
dickish.
No, it's okay. No, it's amazing the way that he smashed the. Because, you know, a comic, when it's old, they put it in this, like, hard Mylar plastic.
Oh, yeah. I was a little shithead who bought comics a ton when I was 12.
Yeah.
And I'd get, like, Spider-Man 567. And
right.
I'd still shove it into one of those. I'm like, one of these days.
Right. Well, this one, not only was it in the plastic piece, but there was, like, this thick, like, plastic that, it was sealed and it was numbered. Like,
gotcha.
When it's like professionally graded, like this was professionally graded at a 9.8. So it says 9.8 on the thing. So, and I also got him a Simpsons Mr. Potato Head, which just came out. It's only like $25, but the comic was like $80. And I got them both on eBay. So after I presented the gifts to him, he kind of turned around to me, and he did shake my hand. He didn't look at me, but he shook my hand, and he said, "I will gladly accept these gifts," which is basically saying they're no longer yours, they're now mine, kind of like a legal thing. And he spun around, and Opie had his phone out, and he was taping what was going on. And he just smashed the comic. He lifted the comic up over his head, smashed it on the console. Bam, bam. Mylar was shooting in all directions. He picked up the Mr. Potato Head, slammed that into the console. Amazing. I mean, the video, if there's one thing I could take back, if you watch that video, because, again, I was, like, shifting in the back. I was wiping sweat off my brow. At that point, I was literally all adrenaline. I don't know what was going on. I wish I would have been more silent. After he smashed it, I was like, okay, that's his to do that with. That was out of my hands. I had nothing to do with that, you know, that kind of thing. But you got to go back and watch the video. It's kind of funny. But I like, listen back to that 40 minutes like this a murder film. I'm like, you know, I could have done this better. What happened there? I should have said this. But again, I was just lucky to get through all that without having a heart attack and dying. It was just an amazing experience.
Dude, I'm just glad I had you on to tell the story. I've been waiting a month to
Hear
about that.
Well, I'm
2 months,
I'm
technically.
Sorry. I'm sorry for how long it went. It kind of droned on, and I'm sure I'll think about 100 better things to talk about with you in the future. But
I've been out of it the whole time. Like I said, I crushed an Indian buffet 5 minutes before I got in here. I'm like a python that ate livestock.
Right.
You're a great talker. I'm glad you're on to do that, man.
Oh, thanks, man. I always appreciate you. You know, you on Twitter, and I appreciate all the work you do, and I appreciate you having me back. This is my second time on, so hopefully it'll be a third time. I don't know if there's going to be another E-Rock song. I got to say, I'm not announcing my retirement by any means, but after that appearance.
Whoa, slow down. This is like Jeter talking about his final season.
I don't want to say I'm done totally, but after being in the studio with Opie, Anthony, E-Rock, Jim Norton, having the smashing of the gifts happen, singing three songs on the air, and I don't know if I can get any better than that. I don't think, and I don't know if I want to. I mean, like I say, I don't need to be the center of attention. I don't have to be, hey, Sean F., the E-Rock guy. I don't mind slipping back into a fan role. I don't know if I can top what happened in that studio, you know. And again, it's just, I don't want to say it's over, but don't expect a song anytime soon, in other words. But that's my official announcement.
Wow, there's actual breaking news on Papa's Basement.
Breaking news right here on Papa's Basement.
My God. Sean, I can't thank you enough. I wish I had all my little production bits with me. Otherwise, we'd hear the outro music right now. Actually, I could dig that up on YouTube, but fuck it. Fuck it. The show is ending. If they want to get a hold of you again, it's at Mondo270 on Twitter and soundcloud.com/Sean-F-1.
That's it, man. Thanks so much. You're the best, man. Appreciate it.
My pleasure. Just stick around. I'm ending the episode. You were the co-host, not the guest, damn it.
Oh, there you go. Thanks.
I'm John Papagiorgio at Papa's Basement. If you want to hit me up on Twitter, show's website is inpapasbasement.com. We do 2 episodes a week. And if you do the iTunes thing, it's inpapasbasement.com/iTunes to subscribe. And if you use the Stitcher app, inpapasbasement.com/Stitcher. Simple enough. Sean, we will have you on again soon, hopefully again in a co-host role like this, and maybe we'll get it done through Skype the next time so it isn't just an hour-long phone call. And I will call you in a second, actually, as soon as we wrap this up.
Thanks a lot, John. Talk to you soon.
All right, buddy.
Take care.
Later. That is Sean, and I will be ending the show again for the second time. Take it easy, and till the next week, we are out of here.
We're home free. School's out, baby.
Good show.
Nothing to talk about, nothing to critique. Great show, great guest tomorrow. You go home, have a glass of wine, whack off. I'll see you tomorrow.
That's the post-show critique?
Yeah, you're the best.
It's my time to go. I successfully burned all my bridges. Nobody loves me and I don't love nobody.
Then he said penis.
Yeah. Then he said masturbation.
Then he said vagina. That was cool.
Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. Had a mighty hard time, but I'm on my way. It's a mighty hard climb, but I'm on my way.